Is on.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim بسم الله الرحمن الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے گزشتہ ہفتے لجنہ مائلہ جرمنی اور خدام الحمدیہ جرمنی کے اجتماعات
Hazur says that with the grace of Almighty Allah, last week the Ijtimaas of Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya Germany and Lajna Imala Germany were held. As is always the case, this became the medium of displaying the manifestation of Allah's graces and bounties. From the letters that I am receiving from the Khuddam and the Lajna, it seems from their letters that whatever I said to them, this roused and shook the inner sincerity and piety within them. And this is the distinction of an Ahmadi. And this should be the hallmark of an Ahmadi. That whenever they are advised under the commandment of Allah, Zakir, that is, admonish them. Whenever they are reminded, then they listen to that carefully. And a large majority of the members of the Jamaat, upon being advised, upon being reminded, they adopt the reaction of a true believer. And they then encapsulate this definition that Allah the Almighty has painted when He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يُخِرُوا عَلَيْهَا سُمْوًا وَأُمْيَانًا Which means, and those who when they are reminded of the signs of their Lord, they fall not deaf and blind. They do not say that we did not hear what is being said, or what was occurring there, or what kind of gathering or what kind of environment it was. In fact, if they are weak, then they have a sense of shame and disappointment. If, prior to this, they are excelling and striving to increase in good and righteous deeds, then after they hear these reminders and after they hear these words of advice, they make even greater efforts than before to implement that. In this ijtima, nearly half the Jamaat attended. If the majority of those who attended become those who try to infuse pious reformations within themselves, then that revolution for the reformation of the entire world that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, desired to bring about. That revolution that the Jamaat should bring about. Then these people will play a supporting role in that revolution. The reason why I say the majority is because most surely there are also such people who sit in these gatherings who are not that affected. But those people who were affected, who have carried out a self-evaluation, and who have written me letters about this, they should also remember that if you do not review all of these matters, if the auxiliary organizations do not always review and remind about all those things that I have said, then all of these matters, this zeal and this passion, this sense of shame, these expressions of emotions, they will diminish. Therefore, the auxiliary organizations should remember that those who attended the Ijtima and also those who watched and heard the program on MTA, wherever they in the world they may be, then remember that the iron is hot. So they should try to mold the members according to that temperament, to foster which, in this time, Allah the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's true devotee. I mentioned those who watched and heard on MTA. I am also receiving expressions of sentiments from them as well. In fact, I am also receiving the sentiments of some parents of children that our children, our atfal, they heard your sermon. And upon the countenance of these children, upon the children of the ages of 10, 11 or 12 years old, on their faces were signs of shame and embarrassment. In fact, one mother related to me that my child was listening to your speech, and whilst listening to it, he put a cushion in front of his face, because he thought that I am guilty of carrying out some of those things which are being spoken of. It seems like Hazur, watching me on TV, is directly addressing me and he is speaking about me. So therefore, I have hidden my face so he cannot spot me. So therefore, this is that pious nature, this is that spirit that Allah the Almighty today has infused in the children of the Jamaat of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. In fact, they do not fall blind and deaf after listening to advice and reminders. In fact, instead, they become ashamed and try to reform themselves. Some children now turn off their mobile phones. Some children in school, instead of giving attention towards their education, they would think in the following way, that when we have our break, then we will play some game on our phone, or we will become engrossed in some other useless pursuit, that is, other things that are available on the mobile phone. But after listening to what I said, they said that all of these things are useless pursuits. Now we will not utilize these things. We will not play those games, because these games are such that they do not provide good physical health and neither do they provide mental exercise. In fact, these are a source of intoxication. They become a permanent addiction for a child. As is said in English, this becomes a craze, and a craze on a permanent basis. However, this alone cannot please us, those who are in an age of understanding, those who are elder. They should themselves carry out a self-evaluation or a self-review of their condition, and in a permanent fashion, they need to carry out this self-assessment, that they should keep on carrying out the self-analyzation of their own selves. In the same way, parents, they should on a permanent basis remind their children. That whenever they adopt a good habit within themselves, then they need to fashion this so that it becomes a permanent part of their lives. They should not be negatively influenced by their surroundings. So therefore, always remember that for us, short-term happiness is no happiness at all. In fact, until our happiness and our joy, our righteousness, the pious reformations that occur within ourselves do not become permanent, we cannot remain content. Until permanently we do not self-analyze and self-evaluate our condition and state within, we cannot become a part of that great revolution. So therefore, as I also stated in the Ijtima, that after acquiring a good standard, this becomes a means of concerning and worrying a person even more than before. This places greater responsibility upon a person, upon every individual member of the Jamaat, upon the auxiliary organizations, and also upon the Nizami Jamaat, the system of the Jamaat. This time around, I was also impressed by the Lajna, both the girls and the ladies, because very silently and also with deep attention, they listened to my speech to the ladies. Normally, due to the temperament of the ladies, I try to finish my speech in about 40 or 45 minutes, and I tried not to extend over this time. But this time, at the Lajna Ishtama, when I looked at the time, almost 1 hour and 15 minutes had passed. Yet still, the very young girls, the girls, and also the elder ladies, the entire time, they listened to my words with great concentration and deep attention. May Allah make it so that my words have an impact upon them. That is a permanent and a perpetual impact. And also the Lajna organization should not become delighted that our Ijtima has passed very well and we have been praised now. But in fact, in order to make this a permanent and a perpetual striving, include all of these things in your guidelines and your modus operandi. Office holders should evaluate their own selves and also evaluate their members. It is only then that we can become supporters and helpers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. It is only then that we can call ourselves as a part of that era regarding which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, as he has mentioned in this narration, where the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that my ummat, my people, are a blessed people. People would not be able to distinguish whether the first period was better or the latter period. Hazur says, in other words, both periods would represent their own splendor. So what is this end period regarding which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, which the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, linked with that earlier period? This period, which is the end period, is the period of the latter days, as is mentioned in the Holy Quran, where the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, ardent devotee and true, obedient servant, would link the people of those latter days with the people of the earlier times, and who would bring back the faith from the Pleiades. He would establish the governance of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the entire world. Now, this does not entail that, God forbid, in terms of status, the coming Nabi or Prophet will be equal in rank to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And this is why it would become difficult to distinguish who is better, he or the earlier one. This is not possible at all. One is the master and the other is the servant. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that just as in my time, I spread the light of guidance in the entire world after a period of darkness. This is mentioned in the hadith of Muslim. There are many hadiths, but in this hadith it states that Imran states that the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that the better people are of my time. And then those people who come after. Imran states that I do not recall whether the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated this twice or thrice. But anyhow, he said after that after these people would come such people who would make oaths without asking, who would be dishonest, who would leave out matters of the faith, who would not fulfill their covenants and would not remain loyal to their pledge. Because of relaxation, they would actually gain weight. Hazur says, therefore, after these people, then, as is proved from other hadith, and also from this injunction of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from it we can also decipher that then a time would come when the Ummati Muslimah, the people of the Muslims, the clouds of darkness would disperse from over them. And in that, that Messiah who will descend in the latter days, with the support and succor of Allah the Almighty, He would erect columns of light in all directions. In every manner and in every place to spread the means of guidance, He would provide the provisions. The promised Messiah, peace be upon Him. He has explained this in the following manner, that faith that was perfected with the Holy Prophet ﷺ, that blessing of guidance that reaches perfection with the Holy Prophet ﷺ, in this era, in this time, when the means and resources have brought the world together, as is called in English, that it has formed a global village because of communications and connections. The earth has become as if one city. In this time, that perfect guidance that was bestowed to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, it would be the period when its propagation would be completed. In other words, the time of the Holy Prophet ﷺ was a time of the completion and the perfection of the guidance, and the time of the Messiah of the Muhammad would be the time of the completion of the propagation of that guidance. So whether it is a time of the first period of the Muslims or the time of the latter period of the Muslims, both periods are Mubarak or blessed, because the connection of both these periods is with the personage of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we attribute ourselves to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, when we claim that we are with him, then a great responsibility of the propagation of the guidance is placed upon us. And the propagation of the guidance can be carried out in that circumstance when we cater for our own guidance. When we, whilst rejuvenating and reviving our pledge, we look at the examples of that period when after the guidance was perfected and completed, the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the Muslims of the earliest periods, the Qurun-e-Ula, they became role models and examples of that guidance through their word and their deeds. They demonstrated that guidance, observing their examples, observing their actions, observing their connection with Allah the Almighty, observing their high moral standards. The people of that time were drawn around them. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him. In one place, he states that the allegation placed against Islam, that it was spread on the force of the sword. So explain that which armies descended to China to spread Islam. Giving this example, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that which Muslims with swords went to fight a battle in China? He says further that through traders and through preachers and through other works associated there, the companions and also others, those other Muslims who came after, that is the Taba'een, the followers, those Muslims, they took the message of Islam and conveyed it there. And they conveyed it in the manner that those traders or those people who were involved in different businesses, they displayed their good moral standards. They demonstrated that pure teaching, and this is how Islam spread. Today we see in China that millions of Muslims reside there. Therefore, people of every denomination need to assess their own conditions. They need to permanently understand their responsibilities, that how we are to spread the message of Islam, how we are to improve our own moral condition. The example of China was given, so I should mention that nowadays in China, unfortunately, direct tabligh or preaching to spread the message of the Messiah of Muhammad is extremely difficult. However, because this is the time of the completion of the propagation of the guidance, therefore Allah the Almighty Himself opens up means and avenues for this message to be spread. This is a strange coincidence that where the Germany Jamaat were granted the opportunity to spread Ahmadiyyat and the true Islam in Germany, and Allah the Almighty provided different means of propagating this. There, through an exhibition, Ahmadiyyat was introduced, and for the last 2 years, from Germany itself, they went to China and partook in the exhibition. They held a stall of the Jamaat and also of the literature, and they spread the message of the Jamaat in the Chinese language. This opportunity was given to you, the Germany Jamaat, and new avenues are opening up. If literature had not been available in Chinese, then this work would not have been possible. But Allah the Almighty had already arranged for this. With the grace of Almighty Allah, we have the Chinese desk. They are excellently carrying out their work. Usman Jini Sahib is in charge of this Chinese desk. They are carrying out the work of publishing the Holy Quran and also other literature. As I mentioned, that the Germany Jamaat, with the grace of Almighty Allah, is being granted the opportunity to spread this in China. Similarly, in far-off countries of the world, in their local languages of these far-off countries, Allah the Almighty is granting the opportunity to spread the Quran and also other literature. This is the sign of this era being a blessed one. In the way that the message of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reaching the corners of the world, and blessed are also those people who are partaking in this completion of the propagation of the guidance and are partaking of the pleasure and the blessings of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and are trying to revive his time period and era. So every single Ahmadi needs to comprehend and understand this. Just expressing your passions and sentiments temporarily or for the short term is insufficient. Rather, those opportunities that Allah the Almighty is providing, understanding that as a special grace of Allah, you need to take extraordinary benefit from that. And for this, you need to make your maximum and best possible efforts. As I stated, that the Germany Jamaat is being granted the opportunity to spread Ahmadiyyat and Islam in China. Similarly, there are neighboring countries where this opportunity is being provided. So therefore, we need to strive to absorb this blessing of Allah. If before there were just a handful of people who were inclined towards this, or just 100 or so people who were inclined towards this, then in the manner in which after the Ijtima, all of you are expressing your sentiments in thousands, your pious examples, your righteous actions, your revival of your pledges, through all of this, become a part of that revolution and become a part of those days of blessings that the Holy Prophet ﷺ gave the glad tidings of. That the time of the latter days is also a Mubarak, a blessed times. Therefore, only those people are blessed in these latter days who are fulfilling and trying to complete that purpose of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Allah the Almighty, the glad tidings that He informed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about in terms of His ummah, in terms of His people. One of these glad tidings includes the glad tiding of Khilafat. When Allah the Almighty provided this glad tiding of Khilafat to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, within this glad tiding, there is a reliance on a central aspect, or you can say, in other words, that this central glad tiding, that aspect of fundamental and basic importance upon which the progress of the Ummah of the Muslims is relied upon, that is Khilafat. The reliance of the progress of the Muslims, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after him placed upon the Khilafat Rashida, the rightly guided Khulafa. And then, after this, He mentioned a period of tyrannical, despotic leaders. And in this period, the Muslims will be disheartened. That will be a period of darkness, he said. But then, a time would come when Allah the Almighty's mercy would be manifested once again. The loving eye of Allah would once again descend upon the Ummah. Allah the Almighty would end that period of darkness and tyranny. And instead, Khilafat, Allah min Haji Nabuwwat, Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood would be established, which would be perpetual. As Allah the Almighty has made the Ummah, the Muslimah, the community of Muslims as the Khairi Ummah, the best people. So this would be revived and rejuvenated. Nowadays, the various Muslim ulama, the Muslim scholars, and also the organizations, the issue is risen from them that the Khilafat should be established. This is happening because all of these people are aware that the sustenance of the Ummah, of the Muslims, cannot be maintained without Khilafat. This is impossible. But even though they say this, they have covered their eyes. They are not prepared to accept that chosen one of Allah, through whom Khilafat ala minhaj al-nabuwwat, Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood is established. In short, the Quran and the Hadith, they are supporting this, that the sustenance of the Ummah, of the Muslim community at large, and the ending of the oppression and the darkness within the Ummah amongst the Muslims, that requires that system, that Nizam, that Allah the Almighty initiated through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him and Imam Mahdi. Today, every Muslim country, the internal state of every Muslim country, that is loudly proclaiming, that reflect and consider that what is happening with you. And Allah and His Messenger, that issue that they are calling and inviting towards, come to that, because that is a cure for all your ailments and problems. That is a cure for all the internal anxiety within your countries. The manner in which the powerful countries have their greedy eyes over the wealth of your countries, there is only one solution to this, that accept this Messiah and this Mahdi who has come from Allah. This, therefore, is that message that we need to convey in the world. This message is for Germany, this message is for Europe, this message is for Asia, and this message is also for the Arab countries. Especially this message is for the Muslim countries, that the direction that Allah and His Messenger are calling you towards, come to that direction. Recognize that Messiah and that Mahdi, that mercy of Allah that has activated and has become manifested, through which Allah the Almighty has sent His beloved one. Become His supporter. Your sustenance lies in this. Despite the fact that Ahmadis are usually, because of spreading the message of the Messiah and the Mahdi, become the target of cruelty and oppression, but as a result of their compassion for the Muslims, they will go on spreading this message. In fact, this message is actually the message of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, so that the majority of the Ummah, of the Muslims, can be those who attain that latter-day status and become those who are the Mubarak, the blessed people. Therefore, this is a duty of every single Ahmadi to convey this message. And as I often say, that we would also need to assess ourselves. We who call ourselves as Ahmadis, how many of us, within a 24-hour period, even once, or even once in a one-week period, or even once in a one-month period, have tried to deeply reflect and ponder on this, that whilst we attribute ourselves to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, if you consider yourselves connected with him, Then, whilst being connected and attributed to Him, what are our responsibilities? Do we ponder and reflect upon this? What should be our standards of worship? What should be the standards of our morality when we claim the following, and when we say most proudly that within us Khilafat ala min hajin nabuwat, Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood is established, then to support that Khilafat, what role are we playing? So therefore, this is something we need to greatly ponder on. The mercy of Allah has activated, it has manifested, and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, this great person, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ardent devotee, was sent for our reformation, and we have been granted the ability that we have taken his bet, his pledge of allegiance. So, is it sufficient to just take the bet, the pledge of allegiance of this great human being? When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the latter day time is like the early time, Mubarak, that is, blessed, and also the better time. So, his purport was that those who follow the Messiah of Muhammad, they would become the means of bringing about that great revolution. The reason for which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was commissioned in the first place, that they should play a role in bringing about that great change in the time for which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was sent in the first place. That they should become the means of establishing paradise in this world, that will become the means and will become the support of attaining paradise in the afterlife. Therefore, today, it is the duty of every single Ahmadi that he or she plays their role in bringing about this revolution in the entire world, that they play their role in bringing about that great transformation in the world, that they play their role in making the world a paradise. For this, we need to draw and incline towards the Holy Quran, and we need to reflect upon the commandments of the Holy Quran. And when we immerse our lives in a way through which a revolution can be infused, through which a transformation can occur, through which the world can become a heaven, then inshallah, God enabling, the world will follow us, and most definitely this will occur. Today we are weak. Apparently in the eyes of the world we are insignificant everywhere. We are the target of cruelty and oppression. When understanding the reality of our bet, of our pledge of allegiance, with a new resolution we stand up, then if these people are not enabled, then most certainly their future generations one day will think it proud to be a part of the community of the Messiah of Muhammad. Therefore, to make your words and your deeds worthy of the bet, the pledge of allegiance, every single Ahmadi needs to strive in this regard. In these Western countries, do not lose yourselves in the glamour of the world. If you assume that these ijtamaat and these jalsas impact and affect your lives, then do not let this effect be temporary or short term. In fact, make this a permanent part of your lives. With the grace of Almighty Allah, there are people within the Jamaat who understand and comprehend this fact. They sacrifice their egos and their selves, and they do this understanding the spirit and the essence. These people include the youngsters, they include the men, and they include the women. Before, I was worried about the young Waqfinino children, that they were not aware what Waqfino was. Now they have grown up. It is assumed that only he who goes into Jamia, he is performing Jamaat work. The rest are without purpose. They have started their jobs. The Markaz, the center, was not even aware where the Waqfino child had gone. They assume that we have received the title of Waqfino and the rest is sufficient. But now, the university students, those studying at universities, when they are asked, they say that this education we are attaining, upon your permission, upon the permission of the center and the Markaz, and after completing our studies, we will completely and dedicatedly present ourselves for the Jamaat. So this spirit is through the grace of Almighty Allah, despite living in this society and atmosphere. Try to save yourself from the negative effects of this atmosphere. And these people do try to save themselves from these effects. There is the issue of financial sacrifice. Just yesterday, a lady brought a load of gold to me and said that I had pledged to give this to the Jamaat, and now this is forbidden upon me, despite the fact that I said to her that leave some for yourself. She replied that that pledge I have made with God, do not prevent me from fulfilling that pledge. So this revolution is there, that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, infused within the members of his Jamaat. These people also display great devotion in their worship. They also implement the commands of the Shariat, whether it relates to commands of trade and business or commands relating to the household. So the household and also the society can become paradise-like. In this era when everywhere materialism and selfishness is rife, to perform piety and to maintain piety and to remain steadfast and to ask prayers for this, this most surely will attract the pleasure of Allah. And as I stated, there are people like this. However, the vast majority need to be like this. This is so the entire society, the entire atmosphere, the entire surroundings can become the recipient of the paradise from God in this world and also in the afterlife. And anyhow, Allah the Almighty has said about the era of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that in that time, heaven will be drawn near, as Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُسْلِفَتْ. And when the heavens or the garden is brought nigh, so therefore, fortunate are those people who have come into the bed, the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and are benefiting from this heaven being near. And it is a state of great concern for those people who are not taking maximum benefit from this reward and blessing from Allah the Almighty. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has stated that Allah the Almighty does not say that by only performing one kind of piety, you will become the recipient of Allah's pleasure. Rather, Allah has said that we need to give attention to performing all pieties and all kinds of righteousness, so that the loving eye of Allah descends upon you. So in order to receive the loving eye of Allah, we need to pay heed to all our actions. And this is so through Allah's mercy, that heaven that has been drawn near to us, we can grab that. We have accepted the Imam of this time, who guiding us has stated that become a wali, a saint, and a peer, a holy person, rather than committing peer parasti, that is, worshipping the peers. The peers of today have made the faith a target of criticism. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, requests us that look, this is something very important, that become a peer and a wali, a holy person and a saint. Every person in his character and person should be a wali, a saint and a peer, a holy person. But not like the peers today who have made Islam the target of criticism and mockery. They have placed people on the wrong path, giving them false promises of paradise. They are in fact guiding them towards hell. Hadrat Khalifat Masih Sani, the second Khalifa, in fact Hadrat Khalifat Masih the first, may Allah be pleased with him, would say that one of his sisters was a follower of a certain peer. Hadrat Khalifat Masih the first said to her that fear Allah now and understand, cater for your life in this world and the next and become an Ahmadi. But she said that I do not need to be an Ahmadi. I have taken the bed, the pledge of that peer, because he has reached a certain high station. He has informed me that you do not need to carry out any kind of righteousness. You, because are a true follower of ours, you can do whatever you want. You do not need to do any pious act. We, or I, have forgiven all your sins. Hazuru says, therefore, this concept of atonement is not only found in the Christians, it has also been initiated by these peers. Are these people worthy of being counted amongst the Khairi Ummah, the best people? Anyhow, Hadrat Khalifat Masih the First, may Allah be pleased with him, said that I said to my sister, go to your Peer Sahib and go to him again and say that when on the Day of Judgment every single person will be taken account of his sins, and because of their sins they will be punished. So have you ever thought, Peer Sahib, have you ever realized that you have forgiven the sins of your followers, apparently, how much punishment or rebukement you will face? So his sister said that I will most surely ask the Peer Sahib about this. When his sister returned to him, he said that, did you ask this question to the Peer Sahib? She said, I did. And that matter that you had made into such a big issue and said, this Peer Sahib solved it in just a few minutes. He said, how did he solve this? She said that in answer to my question, the Peer Sahib said that when the angels will ask you that why did you perform such and such sin, then say to him that I do not know about this. Peer Sahib is here. He said to me that do whatever you want. Nobody will question you about this. So now this Peer Sahib is standing here. Ask him about this. So when you say this, they will leave you alone. They will not look at you. So when they look the other way, just run quickly into heaven. Then what is left is my circumstance. And this Peer Sahib says that in terms of my circumstance, when the angels will ask me, then I will very angrily say that in Karbala, our grandfather Hazrat Imam Hussein, the sacrifices he gave, were they not sufficient? That today again you are troubling us? In the world, the people of the world had made our life a living hell. And now here you are adopting that same attitude. That now you are questioning us about our deeds, whether we have done this and whether we have done that. Upon this, the angels will become ashamed and they will stand aside. And we, standing up haughtily and proudly, would strut into heaven with great pomp and show. Hazur says, this is the state of the peers of today. This is how the peers of today are. Those who want to offer heaven without performing deeds to attain it. Whereas in fact they are guiding people towards hell. The peers are those who are falling into hell themselves and are taking their followers into hell. In truth, in this blessed time, that heaven that has been drawn near to people is that heaven that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has showed us the path of how to obtain. Providing us with most beautiful explanations of the Holy Quran and the Hadith, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, also drawing our attention towards performing pious deeds and removing and eradicating useless pursuits and also innovations, and also teaching the world the means and the ways of submitting to God. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has shown these paths, which are the paths of taking one to heaven. In terms of the peers, this is not only the peers of that time which Hazrat Khalifat Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, has referred to. In fact, these peers are the same today. A large proportion of the people in Pakistan and also in Muslim countries. There are the ignorant people on one side, but it is not limited to them. They are even educated people who consider themselves very well educated. These include leaders and also politicians. Some I am aware of myself, who do not even offer prayers, do not read the Holy Quran, yet they are followers of certain peers, and they feel that their prayers are sufficient for them. If heaven is to be drawn near in this way and to be attained in this manner, then the commands of the Holy Quran, God forbid, they are not required. There is no need for the Holy Quran, God forbid. So therefore, we are most fortunate who have accepted the Imam of this time and have understood and realized the reality of heaven. We have understood the knowledge of how to attain the pleasure of Allah. Many people write prayers to me when they are questioned that are you regular in prayers, and it is discovered that they are not regular. So I always reply to them that first pray yourself, and through your own prayers help my prayers to be accepted. And this is in compliance with that sunnah, that practice of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which he established and demonstrated before us. Once a companion asked the Holy Prophet ﷺ to pray for him. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ answered that, "I will pray for you, but with your prayers support and help my prayers to be accepted." So therefore, this is that beautiful picture which should occur in a Muslim society, that first reform your own actions, pray for yourself, and that person you ask for prayers, through your own prayers, help his prayers to be accepted. Prayers can only be accepted which act upon the sunnah, the practice of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and are performed in a manner that are taught by the Holy Prophet ﷺ. There is no other means for these prayers to be accepted. And even in this prayer, the faith should be given precedence over the world. When your life is undertaken in this fashion, and when you are inclined towards prayer, then that great revolution will be born, for which Allah, the Almighty, sent that great servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the world, and through whose advent heaven was drawn near. So therefore, every Ahmadi needs to channel and to form and mold his thinking in this manner. Every Ahmadi needs to carry out actions in this way. I shall present some extracts of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He says that, "I say most truly that the world cannot be combined with the faith. Indeed, to help the world can be combined with the faith, but if it relates to shirk, setting apartness with God, this cannot occur. It has never been heard that a person has a pure connection with Allah and yet he begs for food. Allah even has mercy upon his children. When this is the state, then why do you put such conditions? Only those people will be considered, counted amongst our Jamaat, who, according to the Bayt, give precedence to their faith over the world. When a person maintains this pledge and he inclines towards Allah, then Allah grants him strength. Seeing the example of the companions gives great delight. How Allah the Almighty purified and cleansed them. Look at Hadrat Umar. How, after coming into Islam, he transformed. What do we know of those people in our Jamaat, or who those people will be, whose faith and whose faculties and strength of faith will reach to a similar level? After all, Allah the Almighty is Alamul Ghaib, Knower of the Unseen. If there are not such people who have this strength and faith and faculties, then how can this movement progress? But remember this clearly, that the steps of that Jamaat that are not for Allah, what is the point of such a Jamaat? Taking steps for Allah is a condition for which Allah should be pleased with a person, and Allah will help him with His Holy Spirit. But all of this will not occur until a person completely effaces himself and does not implement all of these things. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْحَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَوَى. That those who are afraid of the status of their Lord and also stop their self from performing bad things, most certainly heaven will be his abode. So the promised Messiah says that from this it is clear that the heavenly life starts from this world, if you prevent yourself from selfish considerations and also worldly things. The promised Messiah says that definition or that commentary of fana, of completely effacing yourself, that the Sufis give, that is exactly this. That naha nafsa anil hawa, that prevent yourself from performing bad things and from worldly considerations and sins. The promised Messiah said, "I repeatedly say all of these things because Allah the Almighty wanted the Jamaat to be in such a way that that true knowledge of Allah that was lost from the world and that true taqwa and also purity that is not found in this time, that that should be reinstated and resurrected. Arrogance is generally spread all over the world. The ulama, the scholars are immersed in their arrogance and pride. The state of the poor people is also terrible. They have no inclination left towards reformation. Their purport is only limited to their body and physical. This is why their striving is of a different kind altogether. Their striving is of different type, for example, just remembrance, etc. And you do not find this from the spring of Prophethood, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, their actions cannot be corroborated with those of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says further that they are not inclined towards self-reformation. All that is left is the bodily and the physical. There is no trace left of spirituality. Their kind of striving cannot reform the hearts and purify them, and neither can they find the true. This is why this era is completely empty and hollow. That method of the prophets, that has been completely eradicated and that has been forgotten. Now, Allah the Almighty so desires that that period of prophethood is revived and purity and also taqwa is resurrected. And this is what He desires through this Jamaat. So He says that therefore it is necessary that you give inclination towards true reformation in the way that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has taught us the means of reformation. Hazur says that may Allah grant us the ability to lead our lives and immerse them in the way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam so desired from us, so that we also, through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, can be a part of that coming revolution and change that is destined with him, inshallah, God enabling.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ